This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam tasliman kathira. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil awwalin. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil akhirin. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala habibina wa nabiyyina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kullama dhakarahu dhakirun al-abrar wa kullama ghafaran dhikrihi al-ghafilun. All praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows what we reveal and knows what we conceal and even knows what the animals feel. We thank Him, we praise Him, and on Him we have reliance. It is to Him we only turn to for our true guidance. We ask Him to send His peace, His blessings, His mercy on the best of human beings and prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on whom be praise until the very end of our days. And we ask Him for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for Him to save us on Judgment Day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a beautiful verse, in chapter 17, verse 9 of the Quran, after saying, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim," "Inna hadha al-Qur'ana yahdi lillati hiya aqwam wa yubashshiru al-mu'minina alladhina ya'maluna as-salihat anna lahum ajran kabira." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Surely this Qur'an, indeed this Qur'an, certainly this Qur'an guides to that which is most upright and gives good news to the believers who do good, and they will receive a mighty and great reward." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this particular verse that this Qur'an, يَهْدِي لِلَّتِيهِ أَقْوَمْ, will guide to that which is the most upright, meaning will make the affairs of all of humanity upright. And it will also be guiding only the upright. People who want to seek goodness, people who want to seek rectification, people who want guidance, it will be given to them. And this Quran will benefit humanity for those who seek it, who seek that guidance. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a number of ahadith that this Quran will be either an evidence for people or an evidence against them. We as Muslim, the Muslim nation, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humanity one faith to believe in. That faith is the faith in one God, one Creator, one Almighty. And that faith is given to Adam alayhi salam, as he said, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when Allah our Lord said to the angels that we will send on this earth a khalifa. A khalifa has a number of meanings. Number one, someone who is going to be a deputy or a representative of whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Someone who will be commissioned with a task. Someone who is going to come in successive generations, someone who will be a leader of this objective, of this task. And our collective father, the father of humanity, and the father of the believers, of course, and all of humanity, was given this task, which is to be a representative of the true faith, of the objective of true faith, for all of humanity. So this is something that started with Adam alayhi salam and went through all the way to an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. who, interestingly enough, is, as we know, the last prophet and messenger. And in that line of prophets and messengers, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is known as the Khalifa al-Allah al-Ard. He's the one who is the final deputy and representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this message of the prophets. And that is why, what is the very first successor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam called? What is he called? Khalifa. Isn't that right? So that is the idea that the purpose or the message behind the Quran and why Allah sent the prophets and messengers with one faith to believe in God Almighty and to turn to Him does not end with the prophets, but rather it is carried on by the believers. And that is why the first leader of them and the subsequent leaders of the Muslims, they're called the Khalifa. The Khalifa, meaning what? The one who will implement the objective or the reasoning or the message of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent people. And this is why this Quran and this messenger, these two things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they will be our intercessors. They will be those who will intercede for us. First and foremost, this idea of intercession, shafa'a, is something that not only is in the afterlife, but is also in this life. Is the Prophet ﷺ interceding in your life? Is the Quran playing a role in interceding in your life in bettering it or not? And this is something that's powerful. Because how many of us, we claim and we love Allah and His Messenger and the Quran, but the Quran is not part of our lives. The Quran is something you put on the top shelf. The Quran is something that, you know, you... When Ramadan comes, you take it down, you dust it off, and then you start to recite it then. But one of the great scholars of Islam, Imam Ibn al-Mubarak, he said, I was speaking to Salim al-Makki, and he said that he heard from Hassan al-Basri, great scholars of Islam, all of them, they passed down this message. They said, whoever wishes to know who they are, let them present themselves to the Quran. If you want to know who you truly are, present yourself to the Quran. What is your relationship with the Quran? What is your relationship with this book? What is your relationship with this khilafah? Khilafah meaning this objective, the reasoning why the prophets and messengers came. And Imam al-Hasan al-Basri, the same man who said this, he said, adhere to the book of Allah. Pursue whatever is of Allah's commandments. Be people of reflecting and understanding. May Allah have mercy on the person, the slave of Allah, who presents themselves to the actions of the book of Allah, Almighty and Majestic. If they conform to the book of Allah, he praises Allah and he thanks Him, saying, Alhamdulillah, who's guided my life to be in accordance with His book. But if it is opposite to the book of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, he chides himself. He tries to rectify himself. He tries to correct themselves, and that is how this Quran will be in effect in his life. And this is why, if the Quran is not an intercessor in your life in this world, how can then it intercede in your life in the next? This Quran, if it's not playing an active role in correcting our attitude, our character, then how will it correct us in the hereafter? If this Quran is not a means for us to bring nearness to Allah in this life, how will it be bring nearness, meaning shafa'ah, because that's what it's doing, in the next life? And how, if we don't connect to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this life, how can then we expect us to connect with him in the next? This is what essentially Imam Hassan al-Basri was telling us. And I want you all to understand something very important. We, in modernity, 2019, now almost 2020, as Muslims suffer from something very serious. And that is, we have become too descriptive with our faith and not enough prescriptive. We worry sometimes more about the letters that are written rather behind the meaning behind them and the objectives and the message and how we can reach them. And sometimes this is a bad thing. Even though we are the nation that preserved the letters of the Quran, as you all know, mashallah, how many huffaz are just in this room? How many people who've memorized it from beginning to end? from men and women. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said something very powerful that teaches us the prescription of our faith is more stronger than the description. And what do I mean by that? Sometimes people become so mechanical about faith, they lose the objectives and the spirit of it. And then we have the opposite extreme as well. People who are seeking the spirit of Islam, but they think that that spirit and objective will not come with any kind of practice or action. There's two extremes. And among the extremes is the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, he who recites the Quran and acts by its contents, his parents will be made to wear a crown on the day of judgment. Its sparkle will be greater than the light of the sun in the houses of this world. Were to exist in this world, they would fight over it. People would be going and attacking, saying, I wanted this crown. So what do you think about the one who performed the action? Meaning the one who acts on the Quran in the next life. And the Prophet ﷺ also mentioned in a powerful hadith that there will come people saying that all praise is due to Allah, the book of Allah is one. Among those of you are the best of those among you who will recite it. Among you will be fair skinned and dark skinned, but they will recite the Quran, they will be the best among you. This, he said, recite the Quran and recite it before people will come. They will recite it, establishing its letters. They will care more about how you recite. Your ghunna is off, your med is not long enough. The way you've done that qalqala or the one, the makharij is more important. They worry about these letters, the Prophet ﷺ says. He says, before people will come, they will recite it, establishing its letters, the way an arrow is stood upright. You try to stick an arrow in the ground and try to make it stand straight. Meaning they'll be very particular. He said, do this before these people will come. They will care more about the letters than what I'm about to mention to you. He says, they will come a people who care more about the letters, but their recitation will not go beyond their throats. Their recitation will not go beyond their throats. They will seek its reward hastily, and they will not seek its deferred reward in the hereafter. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala who explains and he discusses this. He says, truly, we were the beginning of this nation, meaning the Sahaba, those who preserved this Quran, those who preserved this Islam, those who because of them, Islam reached, alhamdulillah, Nigeria and reached all the way to Mongolia and reached Afghanistan and reached Burma and the whole world. Now the world is encompassed with that. He said, there would be men amongst the best of the companions of the messengers of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who only had with them one surah of the Quran or so. He had one surah or from the Quran or a few of them. But the Quran was heavy on them and they were given the sustenance of acting according to it. They were blessed with acting according to it, even though they only had one chapter of the Quran. But it was heavy on them because they knew that they had to act on it. And he says, truly the end of this nation, meaning the end of Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi towards the end of times, they will have the Quran light on them. Even the child and the non-Arab recite it, but they will not act according to it. Isn't this right? How many of us, we have children who've memorized the Quran beginning to end, and alhamdulillah, Islam has reached where Arab and non-Arab know it beginning to end, and they recite it with perfection, but where is the implementation and action behind it? We are a nation that needs to turn back to this concept. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you, the best of the nations are those who teach the Quran, who learn the Quran and they teach it. Now the question is, the Prophet ﷺ, as one of my teachers in Medina, he said, the Prophet ﷺ did not say, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ حَفِظَ الْقُرْآنَ وَحَفَّظَهُ. The Prophet did not say, the best of you are those who memorized the Quran and taught its memorization. This is part of it. He said, the best of you that learn the Quran, understand the Quran, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. He learned the Quran, she learned the depths of the meaning of the Quran, the objectives of the Quran, and they implemented it in their lives. This is the point of it. That is why I want you all to understand a story of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, took him 12 years
to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. You're like, 12 years? Maybe if you focus, you could do it in a week. Maybe if you have some tajweed problems, maybe 2-3 months, if you really tried. Why did it take him 12 years? Because they said, we would recite 3 verses, we would not move past them until we implement it in our lives. These verses at a time. The question is, how many of us, we opened the Quran and we said, we took our lives and we put it and compared it against the Quran. How is my life in comparison to what I am reading? When Allah says, أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ, fulfill your covenants and your trusts. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to be the best to those around you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are the closest to you, أَقْرَبِين, أُولِي الْأَرْحَام, are those who are most deserving of your attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, that أُولِي الْأَرْحَام أَوْلَى بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ, those who are closest of kin to you are those most deserving of you. They're prior to your attention and your interaction. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that we need to learn in making the Quran prescriptive is the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want you all to understand this statement I'm about to make to you. The Quran is revelation from Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam example is the application of revelation. We understand how to apply this book. If it wasn't for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how would you and I know how to apply it in 2019 Nigeria? How would you do that? Your understanding is different from hers. Hers is different from the other ones. No one would understand how we do so. And we would differ. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's life and sunnah is the basis of unity of understanding this revelation. And lastly, the companions of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the righteous scholars that followed them understood its interpretation. Why? Because they witnessed revelation and they witnessed its application. They witnessed revelation, they saw it, and they witnessed its application. Ibn Abbas says, every single verse of the Quran, ayah of the Quran, I know where it was revealed, how it was revealed, and I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it. Showing you that they know the context of how we implement this Quran and understand it. And that is why our current modern lives have to be based on the principles derived from the Prophet ﷺ's life as understood by those who, of the greatest of scholars, starting with the earliest generations who understood it the best. And that does not mean that we all implement the Arabian culture of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time. No one asked us of this. No one said this. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say everyone has to act like the Arabian culture of that time, but rather the principles that come from the life of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is contextualized to our environment, to our time, and to our place. And this is how we understand the Quran in interceding in our lives. And this is done, my brothers and sisters, with 3 very important steps I want to discuss with you all. Number one, you have to know your history. You have to know your history. I am very, very shocked and surprised that when I meet many of my Nigerian brothers and sisters, that they come to Umrah and I speak to them, I ask them, do you know your history? And some of them say, no, we did not take history in school, neither did we study it. I said, do you know the history of the Muslims in Nigeria, the Sokoto Caliphate, and Uthman Danfodio, and how much you all gave to this ummah? And many of them say, no, we just know the names. We just know the names. We don't know our history. We don't know where we came from. We don't know the contributions of Nigeria to the Muslim ummah. This is a tragedy. You have to know where you came from. As the great scholar Malcolm X rahimahullah said, if you don't know where you came from, how can you then know where you're going? Ibn Khaldun said the same thing, the great scholar of history. He said, if we don't know where we came from, how then do we know where to go? If you don't know your contributions of the past, you will always look to someone else who you think is better than them that will give you contribution. And that is why the colonizers of Nigeria that came here, do you know the mentality that they came? These people need us. They need the civilization we give to them. This is the kind of mentality of savior complex that they had, not knowing that they actually put us back because of colonization, not moved us forward. We had, as a Muslim ummah and the Muslims of Nigeria, the progress that they took away. They stole the resources and they took away from us. You need to know your history, because this is implementing the Quran and making it come alive and understanding how these people lived Islam and how they made the Quran the center of their lives. You need to know your history. And that is two ways. Number one, the beginning. The life of the Prophet ﷺ and the Khulafa al-Rashideen. That's where we draw our Prophet ﷺ's principles and examples. He said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. And he said, عَلَيْكُمْ stick hold firmly, bite, even he said, ﷺ, hold firmly to my sunnah, my practice, my example, and the example of the sunnah of the Khulafa, Rashideen, Mahdiyeen. Do you know why they're called Rashideen? The word Rashid or Rushd comes from the one who their words are equal to their actions. They were men and women of their words, the Jil or the generation of the Sahaba. And now where do we live? A people that make promises and they don't fulfill their statements. And that's why the best of those who are leaders are those who fulfill what they say. And they are with the people and they act according to their benefit. This is why they're called Rashideen. And he called them a third description, Mahdiyeen, which means those who are rightly guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the example of the Quran and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the beginning. And the second part is knowing where we got and how we got here. Knowing your history, knowing from 2019 Nigeria backward, how did we end up here and why? So that you can understand what we need to improve on as a nation, as a people, as a Muslim ummah. That is extremely important. Teach your children this. Teach your children your history. Teach your children your contributions. Deconstruct the colonization of our mentality, thinking that there are people that have better than us. No, we are the ones that can benefit the ummah and the world. We are a nation that can benefit others. And we take the good from others and we improve and work together. But this is found only if you have an integrity and honor in your history. And if you don't, then where is it coming from? Where is it coming from? Who are our role models? Where do we look up to? Then we start having an inferiority complex over our own selves. The second thing, first thing is history. The second thing, in order to live the Quran and center it in our lives, is importantly, social rectification of yourself. Rectifying yourself. Rectifying yourself, your character, your manners, your own ibadah, those three levels. Your interaction with people. And this is, as psychologists call it today, emotional intelligence and social intelligence. We as a nation are very, very quick to blame the leadership of the world. And that does not mean that we should not hold anyone accountable. But one of the most important things I want to teach you all and discuss with my brothers and sisters is the statement of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that leaders are only reflective of their own people. Leaders are only reflective of their own people. If we're not rectifying ourselves, these people, us, we're the ones that will make up the leadership of tomorrow. If we're not rectifying ourselves in our character, if we're not fulfilling the ties, if we're not being just, if we're not being honest, if we don't have corruption in our own selves, if we don't obey the traffic laws, starting from something simple like this, if we don't pay our servants before their time that they need to be paid, if we don't try to cheat the system, if we don't try to stop ourselves from cheating our jobs, if we don't live as people of integrity with our families, and are honest, then why do you think then the leadership of who we may complain about is only reflective of that? A man came to complain to the same man, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and says, listen, Ali radiallahu anhu. He says to him, why aren't we as prosperous and great as the time of Abu Bakr and Umar? Why are we going through all this difficulty and why are we not as great as them? So Ali radiallahu anhu gave him a very nice answer. He said, listen, they had followers like me, and I have followers like you. I have followers like you. Instead of saying what we can do to improve, you're coming here telling me, why are we like this? This is just one of them. Number two, you make your leadership better and you hold accountability in order to make it better. And this itself is learned through understanding deeply the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Khulafa ar-Rashidin, like we said, it's history and how we got here. It's all tied. And lastly, the third aspect of making the Quran an intercessor of this life is where it will take us to the next. How do you derive principles from what we learned in order to bring benefit to society? Bring benefit to where non-Muslims will come to us and seek to understand our welfare system in Islam. We'll seek to understand our non-profit organization and management. We'll seek to understand our leadership because of the integrity of how we are as leaders, how we carry ourselves in our honesty, in our business. They will come to us. Not only that, advancement of sciences, advancement of technology, advancement of social reform and family structure, which now the world is suffering from and Muslims are suffering from because we have abandoned the principles of family structure in Islam. Rather, if we simply go back to what our faith teaches us, you will see the divorce rates in Nigeria start to be fixed. The solution is in Islam. And you will see if we adopt that, how others will seek that as well. Ultimately, my brothers and sisters, when we talk about the intercession of the hereafter, you have to first live it in this life. You have to make the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran an intercessor in this life. How many of us, we raise our hands and say, Ya Allah, make Al-Habib alayhi salatu wasalam shafi'una, right? There's even songs about this. But how many of us don't reflect, did we ask the Prophet and the Quran to be our shafi' in this life first? Because ultimately, it's only a reflection of what it will do in the next. It will only be a reflection of what we'll do in the next. And this is what we'll end with, inshallah ta'ala, is that the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Quran itself will only be given to those who lived it in this life. Will only be given to those who live in this life. مَنْ دَ الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is the one who will intercede except by the permission of Allah, except by the permission of our Lord. And that intercession will be only given for those who live it in this life in the way that will lead them with بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us a beautiful set of du'as at the end of Surah Ali Imran. I want to finish with this, inshallah, and share with you. This beautiful set of du'as in Surah Ali Imran is described to us by our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a very beautiful hadith. And this is narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Some of the tabi'een, by the name of Abdullah ibn Umair, he said that we went to our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they said to her, could you tell us about one of the most amazing things you witnessed from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Amazing. His whole life is amazing. But imagine asking somebody who was so deeply personal as the wife of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mother Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah gather us with her in Jannah, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said something beautiful. First of all, she started to cry, remembering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She just started to weep. And then she said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَامَ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن لَيَالِي He woke up in the middle of the night, one night. And then he said to me, يَا عَائِشَ ذَرِينِي أَتَعَبَّدُ رَبِّي O Aisha, allow me to worship my Lord. Allahu Akbar. This is the greatest worshipper of Allah. This is the Imam of the Prophets and Messengers. But he is asking his wife permission to go do worship at night. Why? Because it is her right. It is her haqq. And he wanted to show honor and dignity to his wife. Look at the amazing nature of this. Then she said, Wallahi, inni la uhibbu qurbak wa uhibbu ma yusirruk. She said, I swear by Allah, I love your nearness, but I also love what will please you. Meaning, go ahead, Ya Rasulullah. I love your nearness, but I love what makes you happy. And she said, فَقَامَ فَتَطَهَّرَ ثُمَّ قَامَ يُصَلِّي فَلَمْ يَزَلْ يَبْكِي حَتَّى بَلَّ حِجْرَهُ ثُمَّ بَكَى He said that the Prophet ﷺ, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he stood up and he made wudu and he went to pray And while he was praying, she said, alayhi salatu wasalam would cry so much that she said that his tears would fall on his lap, in tears and crying. And this happened, فَلَمْ يَزِلْ يَبْكِي حَتَّى بَلَى الْأَرْضِ وَجَاءَ بِلَالْ يُؤَذِّنْ بِصَلَاتِ فَلَمَّ رَآهُ يَبْكِي. He said he kept doing this until the tears not only went on his lap, the tears of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam fell on the ground and made the ground wet. And then Bilal radiallahu anhu comes for the morning prayer for Fajr, the adhan of tahajjud. And he sees the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, atabki wa qad ghafara Allahu laka ma taqaddama min dhanbika wa ma ta'akhkhar. He said, oh Messenger of Allah, do you cry like this and Allah has forgiven the what you've done in the past and what you will do in the future? You're forgiven. Why are you crying like this? And this is where the famous statement of the Prophet ﷺ is made. He says, Ya Bilal, afala akuna abdan shakura? Should I not be a thankful servant? Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he says, how can I not be? لَقَدْ نَزَلَتْ عَلَيَّ اللَّيْلَ آيَةً وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرْ فِيهَا. I have received a verse, a ayah of the Quran in this night. How can I not be grateful for, meaning when Allah sent me this verse or ayah, whoever does not reflect on it, wail be to them, meaning woe be to them who recites it and hears it and does not reflect on it. And then these are the verses of Surah Al Imran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of the day and the night, there are signs for people of reason and reflection. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who are these people? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. These people who reflect on the signs of Allah. They are those who remember Allah while they're standing, sitting, and lying on the sides. And they reflect on the creation of the heavens and the earth, and they pray, and they make dua. Our Lord, you have not created all of this without purpose. Glory be to you. Protect us from the torment of the hellfire. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ مَنْ تُدْخِلِ النَّارَ فَقَدْ أَخْزَيْتَ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. Our Lord, indeed, those who you send to the hellfire, they will be completely disgraced, and the wrongdoers will have no helpers. ربنا إننا سمعنا مناديا ينادي للإيمان أن آمنوا بربكم فآمنا ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of these verses, this is the message. Our Lord, we have heard the caller of true belief. Who's the caller? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Khalifa of Allah who brought the Quran and the objective and the reason and the purpose of life while we try to rectify our lives with. He said, believe in your Lord alone. So we believed, our Lord, forgive our sins, absolve us of our misdeeds and our shortcomings and our deficiencies, and allow us each to die as one of those who are virtuous and you have accepted. When you center the reflection of the Quran, like the Prophet ﷺ says, when you reflect on the verses and you live them in your modern day-to-day lives in the three ways that we have mentioned here, that is when the Quran will become your intercessor. That is when the Prophet ﷺ says, on the Day of Judgment, the Quran will come, and Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran alone will be a shade for you, or two large animals with wings. They will shade you, or they will protect you, and they will speak for you. And this Quran will even come as in the shape of a creature, a man, who will look radiant. And you will say, who is this person? And they will say, I am your recitation. I am your recitation of the Quran, not the Quran itself. Because the Quran is not created. That's the recitation of the Quran that you used to recite, and used to act, and used to implement. And the Prophet ﷺ will await us all, inshallah, on that day, because of our action and implementing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you and I, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will serve us with his blessed hand from water of paradise. Whoever drinks this water of paradise will never be thirsty or hungry again. Why? Because you lived the Quran and served its purpose and its message and the sunnah of the Prophet in this life. Allah will honor you and I that the Prophet will serve us in the next. May Allah make us of them. May Allah make us of those who live the Quran and to live the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to gather us and make them our intercessors, because we made the Quran our intercessors in this life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it our intercessors in the next. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا.